As we read the Gospel this morning, I'll be reading from the Gospel according to Luke, from chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Going to watch a video clip.
Win or lose, you always need your friends, 'cause inside you know, in one show,
up to her,
the hammer,
and another to come down.
Shining moment, you knew it.
There will be no undefeated champion, or Wisconsin to the championship game.
Some of you who are basketball fans probably recognize some of those clips. Those clips were taken from previous March Madness basketball tournaments, the NCAA basketball tournament. It is a few short weeks away, and already plans are being made by players, by coaches, by universities and colleges to see that their teams go on to glory, to find themselves in that one shining moment. Let me tell you where we're headed with this. At our covenant day, the preachers were challenged by a speaker to bring during the Lenten season this notion that one shining moments often come where experiences of consolation in life meet experiences of desolation, where consolation and desolation comes together. Even for a brief moment, there can be that one bright place, or as they say in March Madness, one shining moment. The video portrayed that. The look of the players, the fans, the cheerleaders, the coaches, as victory was achieved, was filled with consolation. The work was all worth it. On the other hand, for those who fell short, desolation was written in their expressions upon their face. Sadness, all of the hard work, all of the discipline of going to team practices, all of that seemed like it was worthless and never will advance them to the finals. One shining moment where consolation and desolation come together. Consolation. Jesus had moments of consolation. Just prior to this passage of temptations that Jesus experienced, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptizer. And as Jesus came up out of the waters, Jesus heard a voice say to him, the voice of the Heavenly Father, "You are my Son, and I am pleased with you." Oh, a moment of consolation. And then we began with chapter 4. Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, by the way, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days. Nothing to eat. Went from consolation to desolation. No friends with him, no disciples to follow along and check on him throughout the night or during the day to see if he was drinking enough water, if he was okay. The only one that seems to have come to him during that 40 days was the devil. And the devil came to play ball. The devil came to bring his best game to Jesus. Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. Three temptations. Jesus, I know you're hungry. Eat. Eat. You know, the basic needs of life. And Jesus called upon Scripture. Called upon those things that he knew to say, I don't need that this time from you. And so the devil took him to the next temptation. Oh, look at all this, Jesus. Look at this kingdom. Look at the power that you can have. Look at the authority that the devil twisting the understanding, can give you. And Jesus again called upon that which he knew, the Scripture. And so one more time, the devil took Jesus, took him up to the pinnacle high above Jerusalem where he could see the worship center of the people. And he used Scripture on Jesus that time, mimicking what Jesus had already called upon for strength and for understanding, for clarity, for purpose in this time of testing. Jesus said, you are not to test God. Consolation intersecting desolation. Jesus had been raised as a person of faith. Mary and I believe Joseph, his earthly father, did what they could do to teach him about how to be faithful to God. How to be faithful to this God who had sent God's Spirit upon Mary to even bring Jesus into life. This Spirit that had just been with Jesus at his baptism. This Spirit that actually led Jesus out into the wilderness. This Spirit that would be with him in that Garden of Gethsemane at another opportune time the devil might have to test him one final time before the big game, before that mock trial, before that crucifixion, before the resurrection. And our Lord, our Savior, in that one shining moment in the wilderness, sent the devil away, defeated, to let the devil experience the devil's own desolation. Jesus used Scripture. If you want to go back and find those scriptural responses that this young Jewish man used, this Jesus of Nazareth, whom just a few verses later, if we were to move around in the Scripture, if we would go over into the next part of Jesus' ministry after coming out of the wilderness, is when he goes to the synagogue and when he unfolds the scroll. We talked about that already. And he reads Scripture from Isaiah and he says, now the Scripture is being fulfilled. I've come to set the people free. I've come to proclaim release to the captives. That Son of God that experienced desolation but found consolation in being shaped by Scripture. You know, John Wesley, hopefully you know who John Wesley is, the founder of Methodism, talks about Scripture being the primacy of our faith. Scripture is vitally important for us, not just as a reading tool, not just as a source of enjoyment, but as a way to understand God and to understand how we are in relationship or intended to be, invited to be in relationship to God. And when we give of ourselves in studying Scripture, then perhaps the consolation that comes from that better prepares us for those moments of desolation. So that even in the midst of our own trials, even when we are facing temptations, that we can experience that pinnacle, perhaps, perhaps that moment of transfiguration as we talked about last week. That one shining moment where God shines through because we have responded in faith. We have been preparing ourselves for times of desolation. You know, some people say that when you read this passage of Scripture from Luke's fourth chapter, that the word, the Greek word that gets translated tempt or test is an interchangeable word, and depending on which translation you want to use, you know, you can come up with these different kinds of approaches to this passage of Scripture. But I think it's worth considering whether Jesus was tempted, which the translation I read to you, that's what the devil was doing. That's what we are tempted to do. We're tempted by our own brokenness, our own sin, to seek power and authority, whether it's in the home or in our business or in school, or, you know, we're tempted by that. We're tempted to gorge ourselves, to instead of just to accept God's provision for us, we want more. And sometimes it's more than just food. Sometimes it's other things that we think feeds us. Possessions. The things that we equate with success. And then there's those other times where we like to extend authority over those. But if you think, so one scholar said this, think of testing in this form. A crash test. You know, the federal government requires cars to be crash tested. Not to see if the cars will crash, because we know they'll crash, but the crash test is to see if someone can survive in the test. So if Jesus is being tested, which I think is a pretty accurate understanding, perhaps of that Greek word being here, it's not to see if Jesus is going to succumb to the temptations. The test is to show us that through faith, through our preparation, through calling upon the strength of God, then we too can pass that test. That we don't have to say, well, he was the Son of God and therefore it was easy. He was hungry, friends. 40 days of not being able to eat. Not only would his stomach be knotted up, but perhaps even his will. And so the devil found him in a weakened state when he came to play ball with Jesus. So the devil knew, as we do when we are in our moments of desolation. The devil knows that we're susceptible to saying yes to those temptations. And so I think today, this opportunity to withstand the tests that we go through in life is huge. I'm reminded of a story. Union Pacific Railroad needed to build a bridge over a canyon out in the western part of the United States. And so the engineer designed a mega trestle that stood in the middle of that canyon, they say. And so they laid the tracks across, and the engineer rolled a train out after they finished that and parked this train on that railroad bridge over that canyon for over a day. But the thing is this, he double-loaded the train with twice the weight it was designed to carry. And one of the people that had worked on the bridge said, are you trying to collapse the bridge? And he said, no, I'm trying to show you that this will withstand the test. That what we do ahead of time, when it's done right, withstands the test. So friends, during this Lenten season, when we are being bombarded, you know, it's not that the advertisers know that we're in Lent. Well, they just keep on doing what they're always doing. And the devil's going to keep on showing up, as the devil always does into our lives. The question is what will we do to better prepare ourselves so that when desolation nears, that we can find consolation in knowing the Christ whom we are invited to follow. So whether it be by the means of grace, Scripture study, privately, publicly, coming together in small groups, experiencing the Lord's Supper, fasting and abstinence, which are signs and things that we practice during Lent, however we are better preparing ourselves, then I believe when desolation hits, when the troubles of life, whether it's our jobs, whether it's our relationships with friends or families, whether it's needs of our body, sickness, or whatever that is, when we better prepare ourselves, when we accept God's grace, when we allow God to come more fully into our lives, then I believe we are more apt to experience that one shining moment so that the next cycle, when it comes around, we have even greater faith after going through such an experience. John Ortberg, a humorist, wrote a book, The Me I Want to Be. The Me I Want to Be. And he told a story in his book about he and his wife going fly fishing for the very first time. And they had never been fly fishing. They had to ask the guides, you know, tell us how to do this. And the guide said, look, you got to act like, you got to understand the fish, you know. And so the guide said, fish are like this. These trout are like this. They see a fly. They want a fly. They eat a fly. And you got to think like that. That's all they are. They're a set of eyes. They're a mouth. And they're a stomach. And so they just go from fly to fly to fly. That's how fish operate. Well, Ortberg got to thinking. He said, well, this is pretty funny. I wonder what the fish think of the fisherman. And so he started thinking, you know, well, it's not like the girl carp says to the boy carp, well, you don't think I'm attractive, and I don't think you're committed to our relationship. No. The boy carp, the girl carp, they eat. They see a fly. They want a fly. They eat a fly. But it got to be humorous until you think about this, and this is what I thought was funny. Ortberg said, fish travel in schools, but they sure don't seem to learn much from their schools. It's almost like it's wasted time to be in school. Friends, we need to be in school. We need to be learning from our Christ. We need to be learning and receiving the power that the Holy Spirit gives us to be better prepared for Easter, to be better prepared to walk out of this holy place, to walk into the world, to be prepared to not pretend that desolation isn't going to occur, because we know it will. We know in our lives it has already occurred. But we also need to experience the consolation, the consoling grace of God that prepares us for that one shining moment. Not like it's going to be in a tournament or anything, but for those basketball players that experience that, we thought that was a great example to see how people experience life. While some rejoice, some cry. While some are happy, some are sad. But when Christ is at the center of our lives, then we can continue to enjoy the hope of future one shining moments. So know that the devil does come to play ball, and the devil will use any trick the devil can to win you over, to get you to make idols out of things that maybe when you were strong and not famished, when you were strong and not weak, that you could face. So in just a moment, we're coming to the Lord's table. Just another refreshing moment to hear and to be present, to feel what God is already doing in our world, but to remind us that we've been set apart, to remind us that we are followers of Christ, to remind us that as that voice said to Jesus at his baptism, you are mine, and I'm pleased. So keep that close to your heart and exercise your spiritual disciplines this Lenten season and be prepared. Do what is necessary for you to move to the next stage of spiritual maturity. God will be there, not just waiting on you, but God will be there nudging you, pulling you, pushing you if necessary, but hoping that you will respond to his grace. In the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit.